want you to take your Bible, turn to Galatians 4 if you would. Galatians 4. And I just feel like let's just keep going with preaching and preaching. It's okay to do everything backwards. Have the altar call before the sermon. Amen. That'd make the sermon go better. Amen. Galatians chapter 4. If you remember, I've been preaching on the heir and the inheritance. And was kind of going over some things. I remember a little bit about what I preached last Sunday and kind of where I left off, and was going to kind of move on from there. And I hit a place in Scripture that made me stop and just ponder it and think about it. And it really got me. There's a word in the Bible that I did not even know was in the Bible. I did not even know that this word was in the Scriptures until I read it there. And I did a search of it, and it's there one time. One place in the Bible, but it packs a punch. By the way, I was sharing this with David Toomey a while ago. He's pulling up the Bible on his Kindle. And how many of you got like one of these, a Kindle or an iPad or a phone, one of these smartphones deals? We have a lady that volunteered to write Bible search software for just the King James Bible. And what she's done with it is just impressive to me. And she's done all of this free of charge. And she's working on, she's got a lot of the things fixed on it, and it's working pretty good for Mac or PC or Linux. She's working feverishly, tirelessly on having this software for your phone or your tablet, either Android or iOS. And this is what happens to me. Something, the Holy Ghost will get a hold of you, and all of a sudden you'll think of a verse, or you'll think of something from the Bible. And if you're like me, I don't have the whole Bible memorized. I can't just tell you, oh yeah, that's in Isaiah 12, and I just can't tell you that. But what I'll do is I'll pull out my phone or my whatever, or sit in my computer, and I'll look that verse up, and I get the whole verse and get exactly what it says. And so she's working on that now. She sent me an email this weekend and proposed something to me, and I like it, and I think we're going to do it. When we have our homecoming this year, she's going to come down here, and she's going to train everybody on running this software, and just how to search the Scriptures, how to be Bereans. Okay, she said she's going to spend about an hour or so just kind of going to put it up on the screen and just kind of show everybody how to use it. Because I don't know how to use all the features on it yet. There's a couple things I know. And so on. But you guys know me. I am big on your Bible. If you can't have, I can't be every place in your life all the time, but I know a guy that can be. His name is the Word of God. And if you will, throughout the course of your day or your evening, or when, if God wakes you up at 2 in the morning, pull your Bible out and start reading it. Amen. That's what I'm going to tell you to do, and I'm just big on the Bible. So anyway, that what got me thinking about that was I was looking in the software, and there's a word there that's only one time in the Scripture, and I did not even know it was there, but it's a very powerful word, and we're going to get to it here in a little bit. Remember, we're talking about the inheritance, which is eternal life, which is in heaven. Galatians chapter 4, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And I want us to look on down in verse 24. He's teaching about Hagar and Sarah. And he says in verse 24, Galatians 4, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. You got two covenants in your Bible. You got the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, And then you have the new covenant, Matthew through Revelation. There's two covenants there. He said the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And all of that relates to you receiving an inheritance. Did God promise you an inheritance? And the answer is yes. So he said in verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. How many of you know that your flesh hates your spirit? Say amen. Amen. Your flesh probably tried to get you to not come to church this morning. Amen. Okay? Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now I'm going to go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And you can turn there and follow along with me, but I'll read the text to you this morning. I'd like for you to see these words in your Bible. Okay, they will be more clear to you. It'll actually go in your mind better, I believe. Romans 8, 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That he just mentioned that in Galatians. So we have two witnesses there that are testifying the same thing. He said, for the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. There is an if in this deal. God doesn't just go around and make everybody in the whole world an heir with his son, Jesus Christ. There is a condition. That condition is, I'll tell you what it is in a little bit. I'll get to it. I just want to show it to you from Scripture, okay? There is an if there. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I want you to know, those of you this morning who are sitting here, who are suffering, who are struggling, who have been downtrodden, been beaten up, been cast aside, been walked over, and forgotten about and forsaken and everything else, I'm telling you this morning, it'll be worth it when you walk into the gates of glory. Can I get an amen out of God's people? It'll be worth it, those things that you're going to receive. You'll look back and say, why did I complain? Why did I struggle? Why did I doubt? Why did I do this? When you look and see what John saw, the gates of pearl and the foundation and the streets of gold, when we get to that place, we'll look back and say it was worth it. Can I get an amen out of God's people? That's just like a woman who's holding that child in her arms after having given birth. She says it was worth it. Until her husband says, honey, can we have another one? But it's worth it. Amen. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We wait for these things. God will do things in his time and in his due season. Do you believe that? Amanda, you got 9 months to wait. Okay, actually, 8. Okay? And all you ladies are going to be able to help her and tell her, now, here's what you're going to go through. Here's what's going to happen. Get ready for this and get ready for that. All right? But it will come in due season. You want God to wait on you. Have you thought anything about you waiting on God? You waiting on God. You ask God, God, I need you to do this. God, I need your help. God, I need you. I need deliverance. I need this. And God says, okay, I'll do it. Wait. Wait. I love my boys. I love them. But man, they're pushy. They're pushy. They want it and they want it now. We want it right away. Well, when can we have it? Just wait. And I always tell them, trust your dad. Trust your mom. It'll be all right. And I'm telling you to wait on the Lord. There is only one other option of you not waiting on the Lord. And I want you to put that in your mind and hold on to it, because you're going to see it here in a little bit. So anyway, for the creature was, verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. I went back, I'm just kind of redoubling my steps here, kind of leading into where I'm going to go this morning. Back in Genesis 21, verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And if you know that story, you'll know that Abraham actually went to God and said, God, what should I do? Here's my wife telling me to cast out Hagar, and Ishmael's my son, what should I do? God said, let him go. Let him go. And you know why? Because God himself was declaring that there are some people who will not be heirs with his son and with his people. If you read the Bible's description of what heaven is like, heaven does not have adulterers. Heaven does not have drunkards. Heaven does not have people that defile themselves. Heaven does not have dope heads. Heaven does not have thieves and robbers and murderers and everything. Heaven does not have that in there. And I want to tell you something. I want to be in a place that's safe and clean and right and holy. Can I get an amen out of God's people? And it is manifest that some people are not going to receive the inheritance of eternal life. I don't say that that person has to be you. I think God gives you the opportunity. In fact, I think God gives you the opportunity today. We've already had a prayer time. You should have prayed. In fact, when I get done preaching, we might as well have another one and give you a chance to pray and say, God, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be cast aside. I don't want to be turned back. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want all those things. I don't want to be put aside. God, I want to receive the inheritance that you have for me. And God's got it in plan, but he's not going to have the Hagars and the Ishmaels with the Isaacs. It's not going to happen that way. Now, let me kind of explain the inheritance a little bit. Genesis chapter 15, verse 7, he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. God is promising a land. Back in Abraham's time, it was Abraham was to look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. He was to survey the land, and God said, I'm going to give you this land for an inheritance. Now, number one, here's what, say, what do you get out of that, Pastor Mike? Number one, heaven, we're talking about heaven. Heaven is not the rewards or the wages of things that you have done. Heaven is a gift. It is a gift to you. Why does people give you gifts? Because they love you. They care about you. They want to see you happy. They want to see you blessed. They want to see that big smile on your face. That's what they want to see. They want to bless you with a gift. And heaven is a gift. Heaven is not based upon what you did. Heaven is not based upon who you are. Heaven is not based upon your skin color. It's not based upon your class of life. It is based upon the fact that God loves you. Somebody say amen. He said, I'm going to give you this land to inherit it. And then he says over in Genesis 28, he said that to Abraham. He said it to Isaac. Now he says it to Jacob. Genesis 28:3, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham. This was Isaac giving this to Jacob. In fact, let me stop right here. Those of you who are inclined to believe, well, I believe that if you're a good person, then God will give you things. Let me straighten something out for you. Let me straighten your doctrine up a little bit. This was Isaac giving his blessing to Jacob. Do you remember that story? Who was Isaac supposed to be giving that blessing to? Esau. What was Jacob doing in there? Lying through his teeth. And yet Jacob received the inheritance. Don't tell me how good you are. Don't tell me how good you've been. Don't brag and boast about what you've accomplished in life. In fact, I like it when we come in here and we take request time and people say, I need prayed for. You know why that is? 9 times out of 10, things are not going that well. And we know we need help. Am I right on that? Because I don't go around, oh, really? That's an unspoken? What was it? Why are you afraid to tell anybody? Hey, I got stuff I don't want you to know about either. Amen? Okay? That's just between me and God. But I'm telling you, when Jacob received the inheritance, he was not doing righteousness. But he received it. And God gave it to him. Thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And then he says, now he gave it to Abraham, gave it to Isaac, Isaac gave it to Jacob. Jacob then imparts it to his children, the 12 tribes. You'll see at the end of the book of Genesis, you'll see Jacob giving his sons a blessing. And then he says now in Leviticus 20, God's got his people and they're out in the wilderness, and here's what he's telling them. He said in Leviticus 20 verse 22, ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. Ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I've said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it. A land that floweth with milk and honey. Boy, doesn't that sound good? Somebody say amen. Milk and honey. And I am the Lord your God, which have... Watch this now. He said, I've separated you from other people. This preacher believes in separation. Biblical separation. That means if you say you're going to follow God, that you don't follow the world. That means you say, well, I believe the Bible, but I believe other religious texts as well. You don't do that. Well, I believe the Bible and Dr. Phil or Ellen or any of the talk shows, I believe what they say too. No, no, no. If what they say and how they live is contradictory to the Word of God, then we follow the Word of God and we separate. God said, I made you different than everybody else. You are to be different. Can I get an amen out of God's people? He said, you shall inherit the land. I will give it to possession in the land full of milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean. Hey, get in this Bible enough and ask God long enough to know what is clean for you and what is not clean for you. There are things that you do that are not clean. There are things that you're a part of that are not clean. There are things that we think that are not clean. God wants you to be able to know that this is clean and this is not clean. Just like your mama does an inspection after you come out of the bathtub. Come here, boy. First thing she does. Uh-uh. I'm not buying it. You know how I know this? Ask my mom. Nope. Nope, didn't work. Go back and do it again. Look behind the ears. Look at the fingernails. Look under the neck. I used to have these big mud streams coming down my neck. If your mama had enough sense to know whether you was clean or not, surely to goodness, you've got enough sense to know what's right and wrong in your life. That's good preaching. You shall therefore put difference between clean and beast and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. You shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I've separated from you as unclean. You know what God's saying? I want my people to be clean, and I want what they are part of to be clean. You know what God put right in the middle of the tabernacle structure, right before anybody went into the sanctuary? You know what God put right there in front? What did he put in there, Brady? Big wash bowl. A big tub. And he says, before you come in here. What sounds just like mom, doesn't it? Before you come in here, you clean yourself up. And before the man of God was to go into the sanctuary in the presence of Almighty God, he had to be clean. So you know what? Maybe it was a good thing we got down here and prayed this morning before the message. Give people an opportunity to get clean before Almighty God. That's good preaching, isn't it? I'm old school. I don't think everybody's got to wear a suit and tie to church. Don't get me wrong. Okay? To be honest with you, I wouldn't mind having on my bibs this morning. Sweetie Pie says no. But I'm in agreement with her. For me, this is how I got to be. There should be a professionalism about the ministry. Okay? But I also believe when you come into the house of God, ready for His service, clean yourself up a little bit. Leave the holy britches at home. Amen? I mean, with holes in it. Okay? And if that's all you got, come sit down here on the front row. Amen? Amen. But anyway, he said, I've separated you, and you shall be a holy people unto me, for I am the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. Now, I want you to pay attention to that now. Now, watch this, okay? I ran upon a word. I was studying the word, all the forms of the word inherit. And I ran into a place, a word that I did not know was in the Bible. And I want to show you in Numbers chapter 14. Turn to your Bibles there. Numbers 14. It's only in there one time. I did not know this word was in the Bible. And so there, I believe the Bible has rules on interpretation. I saw this verse, and Paul said, walk circumspectly. So you know what that means? A circle and speckly. So what I did was, when I saw this word in this verse, I said, man, I got to go and find out what's around this verse so I can understand what this means. Here is the word that I did not know was in the Bible. Numbers 14:12. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I did not know that word was in the Bible. God offered His people an inheritance. God got to a place with His people where He said, I will disinherit them. I did not know that that verse was in my Bible. So what I did was stopped right there, and I looked around this verse to see why God did this. I want you to listen. You believe the Bible this morning, say amen. Amen. I'm going to give you the whole counsel of God. I'm not going to leave anything out. I will disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. He was talking about Moses. Let's go look around and see what's here, all right? Go backward to Numbers 13. Go back one chapter to see what leads up to God saying this to Israel. What led up to it? Why did God say this? And if God said it, He means it. Numbers chapter, you believe that? God doesn't let idle words fly out of His mouth. You know how we do? We get mad, we say a bunch of stuff, and then we have to, well, I didn't mean all that. Maybe you didn't mean all that. Okay? God means what He says. I think you ought to have a respect for the Word of God. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Watch this now. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What is this? What is in the context here of what God said? They sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan. They was in there 40 days looking to see what was in the land. Those 12 came back, and they were going to give their report to the people about what the land looked like. By the way, they come bringing back two men had to carry on a rod one cluster of grapes. It was so big that two men had to carry this cluster on their shoulders, bringing it back as a testimony to how rich this land was. And I know how some of y'all are. You get, some of you like Roy, get a tomato this big and you want everybody to know how big this tomato is. Look what I got here. Okay? Or a big pumpkin. Or a big squash. Or a big whatever. Oh, look at this one. This one's huge. And they brought back a cluster, one cluster of grapes that was so big, two men, one man could not carry it on his back. It took two men to carry this cluster of grapes back. And that was a witness to the Israelites just how good this land really is. By the way, Isaiah said new wine comes in the cluster. You know what that was a picture of? The blessing of the Holy Ghost coming to those people. You know what they did? Rejected it. They rejected it. They had the visual sign of that cluster of grapes right in front of them to know that these men were not lying about what they saw in that land. They could see it right there. So here's Caleb. He comes to them. Him and Joshua come back. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." You know what has been told? What's been told to them was that this land is full of giants. And if you think the Bible's a book of mythology, you've got another thing coming. He meant giants, large people. To this day, in this land, there is a stone wall that has been built from this time period that no man knows how they built this stone wall. There exists right now, you can go stand and get your picture taken in front of it, the largest quarried stone in the world. And the picture that I saw, about 20 people lined up on the front of this one stone that they were going to use to build this wall out of. This stone is so big and so massive, nobody now can figure out how to move it. It's been sitting there as a testimony to this Bible being right. And the reason why this Bible has to be right is that you and I deal with things that are bigger than us every single day, don't we? There are things that I deal with every day that are way bigger than me. And if it was left up to me, I would have folded up a long time ago. A long time ago. I would not even be here. I've seen those giants. I've seen the power that they have. I've been scared before. And I'm telling you that if it wasn't for God as the captain of the army of God, I would not have made it. Still would not make it. Because there are things, Chris, that are way bigger than you and I. Amen? So Caleb says, we're able to overcome it. Let's go possess it. Let's go. That's God said we could have it. Watch this now. God said we could have it. Is God a liar? So look in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Sound familiar to anybody? I can't do this. I can't do this. They're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. You know what an evil report is? It is the testimony of someone who is contradicting the word of God. You see, this is a good report, isn't it? This says that you can have what you don't deserve, eternal life. Amen. And yet somebody else says to you, "Really, you?" They say, "Listen, you might be able to fool some people, but I know who you really are. I know what you're made of. We used to party together. We used to do this together." Or maybe the devil, watch this now, the devil comes and jumps on us and says, "I know what you do. I know who you are. There's a book written down of everything that you thought, everything you said, and everything you looked at, and everything you did. It's all written down, and I'm holding the book, and I'm accusing God before you night and day. I'm accusing God of what you've done. And I know who you are. You cannot make it." And I want to tell you something. If you've never had the devil standing on you telling you, "You can't make it. You can't make it. You're not going. You're not going to make it as a Christian. You're never going to survive. You're not going to heaven." Try to give up. Why don't you just give up and quit? You ever had that? I have. All the time. My wife will tell you about times when the devil was on me so bad, trying to get me to quit. Mike, just leave, just leave, just go. You can't do this. Go away. Boof. Constantly telling me that I can't. That's an evil report. Because here's two men that said, we can do this. 10 of them say, can't do it. I never pass this up. How many men told them that they could not go into the promised land, Brady? What does that number mean? The law. You know what that means? That means if you've got it in your mind that if I just keep the Ten Commandments, I'll go to heaven. Now, you raise your hand and testify if you are sitting here today and you have kept the Ten Commandments. And I will go sit down. If it was up to me being perfect, I cannot go. And the ten will always tell you, you can't. They'll always tell you, you can't. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And they said, we can't go in there. And here's Joshua and Caleb going, you can, you can't. God said that we could. God said that we could. God said it was ours already. It's free. All we got to do is walk in, and all of a sudden these giants would be falling over like crazy. And the ten of them said, we can't. Now watch this. Watch what happened. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel, watch this, murmured against God. Or murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation. You know what a murmur is? A murmur is, Brady, when you are in the restaurant and you're telling all the employees, look, this place has got to be cleaned up now. And then you turn your back and what do you hear? Side of the bed he got on. That's murmuring. You've heard it before, haven't you? Okay? Moms and dads, you ever heard murmuring from your kids? Stupid mom and dad. Watch TV and play games. That's murmuring. Okay? That's what husbands do when they turn their back on their wives. Amen? They murmured. They complained. Watch this. They told God that he was wrong. They told God that he was wrong, and he lied to him. And so watch this. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us out into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not, watch this. I want to tell you something. You put yourself in this position, because if you're like me, you've thought it. I was better off before I started living for God. Been there. Mike, you see all these lost people out here? They don't have all that. I'll be honest with you. I have looked at people not going to church on Sunday and going, why can't I be like that? Why can't I not have a care in the world? Why can't I be like that? And Israel is going, we were a lot better off in Egypt. Are you serious? In Egypt, they had a man standing over them with a whip every day. And if they didn't make enough bricks for the day, they were going to get it. And they had to work seven. Do you think the Egyptian taskmasters gave them 2 days off on the weekend? Vacation? Paid? Overtime? But that's what they said. So look at verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Watch this. This way is the promised land. Joshua and Caleb said, God said, that's our land. And they're on it, and God's going to kick them off. These 10 and the people said, we're not going. We feel like we were better off drinking, smoking, chasing women and men, and going to bars on Friday night. We think we were better off back then. And so we're going to have somebody lead us, and we're going back to Egypt. They decided that they did not want the land. Are you catching this? They decided that they didn't want it. And they had already decided, we're going back. That's the context that that's in. I've got some things on murmuring. Let me read this very quickly. John chapter 6, verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him. See, John 6, here's the Jews back in Numbers murmuring against God in the Old Testament. By the time Jesus comes around, guess what they're doing? They're still murmuring. They're murmuring against the Son of God. They're murmuring against the manna. They're murmuring against the priest. They're murmuring against the law. They're murmuring against every other cometh unto me. Here's Jesus listening to them murmur, and he's still being nice to them. Please don't murmur anymore. Don't complain. I'm going to give you eternal life. And what did they do? Stupid Messiah. How dare we follow him? Still murmuring. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible, Paul talks about 1 Corinthians 10. Now all these things are written as an example unto us. And he specifically mentions the murmuring. So he says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Jude chapter 1, verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. He's talking about the false prophets and the disbelievers of the last day. He calls them murmurers. Complain about everything. Complain about this. Complain about that. Let me tell you something. You've got a shirt on your back. You've got food in your belly. You've got heat in your house. God cleaned your driveway for you. God did all kinds of things for you. Why do you have to complain? God gives you eternal life. He promises you an inheritance in heaven. And yet we complain and murmur. And we say, no, we can't do this. No, I'm not going to live this way anymore. Going back to Egypt. That's when God said, I will disinherit them. So he says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have tempted me now these 10 times. Whew. You know what that is? I won't get into that. Now these 10 times have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Now here's the deal on this thing. Why did God disinherit the majority of those people? He did not disinherit all of them. Out of that whole group, 2 of them get to go into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. You know why? They said, God's not a liar. God don't lie. God said it was so. And the Bible says, and I jumped out of my skin one day when I saw this. I had never seen this before. I went and showed Gary what I found. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. I want you to look there at that verse. Verse 24. Let me show you the difference between Joshua, Caleb, and the rest of the Israelites. Let me show you the difference. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. His seed. You know what that is? I'm not only going to give it to him, I'm going to give it to his children, his inheritance. It's an inheritance. It's a gift. What did Joshua and Caleb do? Nothing. What was the difference in them? They believed. They believed what God said. They didn't call God a liar. And I want to tell you something. You're going to have people. You're going to have devils, spirits. Spirits. See, Joshua had and Caleb had a different spirit on them than the rest of the Israelites. The other Israelites had spirits on them telling them, you can't do it. You're not going. You're a rotten slob. You're filthy. Look at what you do. Look at how you treat people. Look at how you talk. Look at what you say. Really? You call yourself a Christian and you do things like that? You kiss your mother with that mouth? Huh? You ever had the devil say that to you? You rotten, filthy, low-life scum. You call yourself a Christian? What, you're going to put a bumper sticker on your car now and brag about it and everybody in town knows who you are? That's the devil telling you, you're not going, you're not going, you're not going, you're not going. Give up, give up, give up, give up, give up. Turn your back, walk away. Tell God, I don't want that land, I'm going back to Egypt. That's what they'll do. But here is another spirit. I'll just tell you where I go and what I do. Because man, I battle some tough deals. Maybe not tougher than what some of you battle, but I battle them. I battle them pretty hard. And there's times I want to give in and give up and walk away. And God, I can't, you know, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. God, I'm not the guy you called. Let me tell you something that my Bible says. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Brady, you know what God helped me with a long time ago? Mike, if I called you, did I not know who you were and how you were before I called you? Did I not know what you were capable of before I did? If I called you, that means that I've seen the outcome of your life. And you're the exact guy that I want. And he says that to each one of you men and each one of you women and each one of you children. Of course I know you. I'm God. I'm your father. I know everything there is to know about you. And yet I called you anyway. And I'm not sorry now that I did. And I will never be sorry that I did. Never. Because, and see, here's how I learned this. There's been times when I felt like giving up. And I would take my Bible and I would open it up. And God would talk me into not quitting. That's what he would do. Mike, I love you. Mike, I've forgiven all your sins. Mike, maybe you can't do it, but I'll do it in you, and I'll do it for you, and I'll do it through you. And that's where I say, God, as long as you are the one who does it, then I'll stay, and I'll keep fighting, and I'll keep standing. But I've got another spirit than what the rest of the world has. It's right here. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. And I'm just telling you, maybe, and you guys need, I want you to understand something, okay? I am fully aware that I am not just preaching to, what, 80 people sitting here today. I know that. We're getting new people listening in every week. And you say, well, Pastor, you've already preached this a couple weeks ago. Maybe somebody didn't hear it. And what I'm telling you is, you find yourself in a situation where you're ready to walk out and give up and quit. Open this up. Read it. I promise you God will talk you out of it. I promise you He will. He put a different spirit on Caleb, and Caleb just said, I saw the guys. I know what they look like. I know exactly what these other guys know. I know what we're up against. But if my God is not bigger than the sons of Anak, then I don't want to serve Him anyway. And if your God is not bigger than your sins and your iniquities and your emotions and your problems, if your God is not bigger than those, I wouldn't serve Him. I wouldn't serve Him either. I'd walk back. But I'm telling you, He is. Way bigger. Way bigger. That's who our God is. I want us to bow our head. I just want to pray. I think we've already had prayer time. I'm going to have Alicia come up. We're going to sing some songs this morning. But I want to have a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to just consider now God dealing with you. We are not of those who draw back into perdition. We are not of those who are going back to Egypt. I've been in Egypt. I don't want to go back there. Can I get amen out of God's people?